the Passion Week that we have started last Sunday, which was a Palm Sunday. The primary occasions that were there, just to give you a background of the things that we have been learning. Passion Week, last Sunday, we meditated through 4 days of the Passion Week. 4 days in 1 week, on 1 day, that we have meditated on. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, how through the palm tree experience, through the fig tree experience, olive tree experience, and the spikenard tree experience, we learned about praise, prayer, and the parables that Jesus spoke and the preparation that Jesus had all those 4 days, and how Jesus commuted from Bethany to Jerusalem every day, daytime in Jerusalem and evening time and the night time in Bethany, and how he went through back and forth, and wonderful truths that we have learned about Passion Week. And then last Friday, when we gathered together for Good Friday service, we went through what happened on Thursday and Friday. On Thursday and Friday, how Jesus went through the four places, the guest room, Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and Golgotha. And many truths that we have learned about how Jesus went through the betrayal, how Jesus went through denial, how Jesus went through the trial, and how Jesus, when he was born from Mary's womb, and when he died, he was put into Joseph's tomb, Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and many truths that we have learned as well. So today we are going to continue this particular aspect about what happened on Saturday and Sunday. Just want to share with you, there's a Russian word for Sunday. I can't pronounce it well enough. I don't know if there are any of you who can correct me. How many of you know Russian language? But the Russian word for Sunday is Voskresenye. Voskresenye. Meaning resurrection day. Every communist, every Russian atheist must speak of the resurrection when referring to the first day of the week. Voskresenye, which means resurrection day. And the Greek word for Sunday is Kyriaki. Kyriaki. It's Lord's Day, in other words. It should be called a Sunday, S-O-N-D-A-Y, because it is talking about the Lord's Day, not just S-U-N-D-A-Y, but S-O-N-D-A-Y. So that's why there is a Lord's Day and Sunday, they seem to be used interchangeably because of the Greek word that was used. Remember, death is not a terminal, it is a transition. Death is not a terminal, but it's a transition. It's like taking a flight. When you travel from the eastern side, maybe from the countries like India, Pakistan, you're traveling to US. You might stop somewhere in between. It's a transition. You're taking a connecting flight in order to be able to reach the destination. Similarly, death is a transition to another experience on the other side. And that is what it is. Jesus, when he died, it was not the end of it. And that is what we are going to learn today. As we meditate on it, can I have a copy of it, please? One of them. The reason why I've asked for this copy is that I'm also going to read along with you. Let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as it is on your sermon notes. Please join with me in reading these verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There are few verses, not all 22 verses are listed here, but wanted us to clearly understand what is gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 defines what is gospel, and I think each one of us really need to understand the definition of the gospel. Shall we all read this as they are printed in this sermon notes? All together, please. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. May the Lord bless the reading of this word and enable us to clearly understand the greatness and the purpose of the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. If not for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our gathering in this manner is of a waste. It's just a social gathering. Our preaching is empty. Our faith is empty. We are still in our sins. But that was not happened. Verse 20 says, but now Christ is risen from the dead. What a wonderful statement that is. Christ is risen from the dead. There are witnesses that have spoken about Christ risen from the dead. And today we are going to go over two aspects about the remaining part of the Passion Week. I hope you have clearly understood what all happened over this past six days. Sometimes I need to count, right? It's hard for us. Suddenly somebody says Sunday to Friday, how many days are there? We need to start using a finger. So the point is, today we are going to conclude this Passion Week. And for that, let us start off with what happened on Saturday. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. By the way, we have been meditating on the book of Mark. Mark chapter 11 through 16 gives a complete picture about the Passion Week. Just by reading through the Mark's gospel and referring to the other gospels to get a complete understanding of it gives us a full picture as to what has happened. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1, please read. Yes. Enough, brother. Just verse 1. So you can please note down in your sermon notes, Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. Why did I mention just verse 1? It says the word, it uses the word Sabbath. When the Sabbath was over, Saturday was a day when it was considered the seventh day in their calculation of the weeks. And that day, Saturday, was the Sabbath. As I was telling you, while we are referring to this book of Mark, there are certain truths that we need to learn by connecting with the other gospel writers. For that, let us open our Bibles to the gospel according to Luke. Just keep your finger there or the bookmark there and go to the gospel of Jesus according to Luke. We are going to flip through the pages of the Bible, so it will be really nice if we can open our Bibles and go through this aspect. Verse 56. Please read Luke chapter 23, verse 56. Let me read it out. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. Who are they? Verse 55. The women who had come with him out of Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. Probably it was the Friday evening or so. They might have done it. And then the last statement, let us note it down, what it says here. And on the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. So let's note it down in our sermon notes. The first thing that we can note it down is that rest Sabbath as per the commandment. Please note it down. Rest, or in other words, Sabbath. It talks about rest. The word Sabbath means rest. What were these people doing in verse 56? And on Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. They rested according to the commandment. What is a Sabbath? A lot of people have questions about this word Sabbath. And what do we learn about Sabbath? And a lot of people still try to follow across the Sabbath. In terms of calling it, instead of calling it Sabbath, they use the word seventh day. Or in other words, what is a Sabbath? It is clearly mentioned in the scriptures, in the book of Exodus chapter 16. Just to give us a background as to what happened, Exodus chapter 16, quickly I just want us to go through. In verse 22, it says, now on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread. On the sixth day, which is a Friday, when these people of Israel were traveling and wandering in the desert, during those 40 years. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one. When all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, then he said, "This is what the Lord meant. Why should I gather twice on Friday? This is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, put aside to be kept until morning." So they put it aside until morning as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." It came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. That is what has happened. And as part of the Ten Commandments as well, Exodus chapter 20, he says in the fourth commandment, verse 8, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God." In it, remember, notice the word, verse 10. Seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. The Sabbath is of the Lord. Sabbath of the Lord. Later you will see the Lord of Sabbath later. That's mentioned about. Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughters, your male or female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The Sabbath of the Lord. Why? He just referred to the creation in verse 11. The Lord made the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He rested. He ceased, in other words. He paused, in other words. That is what the word that is used. And these people were not allowed to do any work. To the extent of the fact that people took it to the fact that they shouldn't do anything, and they were keeping quiet and rested, not doing anything. And that was a commandment as per the law, according to Moses, that was given by the Lord. And they were doing so much that they forgot the spirit of the law that was behind it. Jesus had to reprimand them in Mark chapter 2. I just want us to go to Mark chapter 2 quickly. Mark chapter 2. Jesus had to explain to them what exactly it means. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. "And it happened as he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of the grain. The Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Why are they picking the heads of the grain?" And then Jesus explains, "Have you never read that David did what? When he was in need and he and his companions became hungry, he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat. Except the priest, he also gave it to those who were with him." Verse 27, listen to this carefully. Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath of the Lord of the Sabbath. It is everything related to the Lord. And in a way, during the Old Testament time, they were told to take rest. They were doing a lot of labor. They were doing a lot of sacrifices. They were doing a lot of work of sacrifices all through those 6 days. On the seventh day, apart from the grains and other business that they were doing, on the seventh day they had to rest in order to be able to remember that God rested from his creation. There are some spiritual lessons that we should learn from this particular story. And that is mentioned in the later books in Hebrews chapter 4. Important things, my dear. Let us try to focus our attention on these aspects in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 onwards. Notice this carefully. "Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it." For indeed we have good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, but it was not united, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Notice this verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Talking about the move from the Red Sea onwards, crossing the Jordan to Canaan, they will not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. He was trying to relate to certain things that were going on. And notice this very carefully. For he said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and the God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. Verse 9, I just want us to skip to verse 9. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Sabbath rest, it's not about one day of rest. There is a Sabbath rest that is given to us forever. Forever we are given that Sabbath rest. We are rested from the labor that we have been going forth. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 onwards, he says, come ye all ye who are weak and labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. We have the Sabbath in Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. And on that Sabbath day, he has given the rest forever. Not only did he rest it from creation, but now we notice that he has finished the work on the cross of Calvary, and the Sabbath rest is given to us. Sabbath rest is given to us. And that is what we have to be clearly able to understand. That verse 10, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Jesus Christ has rested from the works for which he had come to die for us on the cross of Calvary. He has rested in a way in order to be able to give us eternal rest. That is what this signifies. When it comes to work or physical work, some people say, yes, I understand, 6 days you have to work. And that is the physical. When it comes to spiritual aspects, we are in the Sabbath rest forever because of Christ Jesus. That is something that we should learn. Here they were following the Mosaic law, where they had to obey the commandment according to the Mosaic law, which is the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we recognize that the Sabbath rest is fulfilled by Jesus Christ. There is no need for us to keep striving towards, working towards our salvation, because Christ has worked out that aspect on the cross of Calvary. Christ Jesus died for us. He rested, and in order to give us the rest, he took care of the punishment on the cross of Calvary. And then on the Sabbath, and that is what here he says, verse 10, for the one who entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. God's creation resting, and God's redemption resting as well. And that is what we notice here. But there was something more that has happened quickly as we want to go over it. There is another story that is another aspect of this particular day that was recorded by Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 verse 61. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary also sitting opposite the grave. Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, which is the Saturday or the Sabbath day or the seventh day, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate. Chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate. Something was going on Saturday. They said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I am to rise again.'" These people were remembering. The disciples were not remembering. But the chief priests and the Pharisees, they were carefully listening to what Jesus is saying. Verse 64. Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come, steal him away, say to the people, he has risen from the dead, and last deception will be worse than the first. The second thing that you want to note down here is restless chief priests and Pharisees. The rest that Jesus Christ has come into this world to give us the rest. These chief priests and Pharisees were restless on that Saturday. They were afraid that Jesus might rise from the dead. Or they were saying, oh, the disciples may come and steal him away. And the last deception will be worse than the first. They wanted to fool these people. And that is what people try to compare, saying that, oh, Easter's Day has become an April Fool's Day. It is for them. For us, the preaching of the cross is the one that is enabling us to really recognize that they were witnesses. It is not a fool thing, but it is a reality. But these people were getting scared, afraid, restless, chief priests and Pharisees. Verse 65, Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go make it as secure as you know. And they went and made the grave secure. And along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. Note it down, the third aspect, robust security of the tomb. Rest as of the Sabbath, restless chief priests and the Pharisees, robust security of the tomb. They wanted to secure the tomb. That is what Pilate said. You have a guard, go make it as secure as you know. In the IT world, it may be not just 64-bit encryption, but maybe 128-bit encryption and different kinds of security. Tighten the security. There was no way in which no one, nothing can breach through. That is how they prepared themselves on that Saturday, knowing that something might happen. And we don't want physical stealing of the body of Jesus Christ. That is how it was done, my dear. Saturday, all through this was going on, the disciples were there resting, the women were resting, and these people were restless, and the guards were there holding on to see what was going on. Saturday could have been a day of situation. What will happen? It was like a darkness, not knowing what will happen the following day. Now let's go back to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Verse 2 onwards. Let us note it down what happened on Sunday. Write it down on your sermon notes. Mark chapter 16 verses 2 to 14. It says, very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week. Sunday, the moment the turn of the day has happened. The Old Testament things have changed to the New Testament. Remember on Good Friday in the upper room, the Passover changed to the communion. The Old Testament and the New Testament on the same day, in the same room, when they had the Passover, they had the communion to tell that it is a communion, which is the New Testament ordinance. On this Saturday, Sunday also, the Sabbath or the Sabbath rest that people were trying to obey, now it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He entered into that rest in order to be given, to give each one of us that rest. And now the focus is on the Lord of the Sabbath. Not on the Sabbath, but the Lord of the Sabbath. And who is that Lord of the Sabbath? The one who was risen from the dead. Sunday. Now Sunday becomes the most important day now as part of the New Testament because Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is risen from the dead. And that is what we see here, that not only verse 2, when the sun had risen, S-U-N had risen, but also the S-O-N had risen. Mark chapter 16 and verse 2. The sun has risen from the dead. They were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. The stone has been rolled away. The stone that was kept as secure as possible. The robust security that was put forth with the seal. Do you see that seal that is put on the picture there on the left? The seal that was put forth to tell that there cannot be any change that can happen. That is how it was kept forth. If you read the book of Daniel, where the Daniel was put into the den of the lions, they closed that den of the lions with a stone, and there was a signet ring of King Darius, and it was sealed on that stone and said, nothing, no change to the law anymore. That is how it has been passed along. When there is a covering of the stone with the signet ring of the king, it is completely sealed. No one can open that. But let me tell you, no man's security can prevent God. How much ever secure you want to hide things from God and say, oh, I'm going to cover this up. In the sight of God, everything is visible. He can expose everything as well. And here we see that the stone was rolled away. The things that are tightening the body of Jesus Christ that have secured, now we notice that it was rolled away. Although it was extremely large, it was not a small stone that covered that tomb. Verse 5, entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. The resurrection experience was an amazing experience. And he said to them, do not be amazed. Do not be alarmed, it says in some of the translations. Sunrise should open up an alarm in us. It's like, oh, when the sun rises, your phones will start putting off the alarm, right? The alarm, the sun has risen. It should open up the alarm to everyone. These people were alarmed as well. He says here, you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, he is at the place where they have laid him. Go tell his disciples and Peter. And then, notice this carefully in verse 9. Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. What did these women do? Let us note down the first aspect of what has happened on Sunday. Risen Christ reported by women. The risen Christ, Christ is risen from the dead. The first human evangelist to tell the risen Savior is the women who went and reported that Jesus has been risen from the dead. Other gospel writers also explain it. They go and talk to these people. What does it say in verse 10? She went and reported to those who were been with him while they were mourning and weeping. Though the sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. They were going through darkness, weeping and mourning, these disciples. They were told that Jesus has risen from the dead. But what does it say there? Verse 11. They refused to believe it. They did not believe. These women who reported that Christ is risen from the dead. God used people in order to be able to proclaim the good news. Just like the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ was being proclaimed, the angel told the shepherds, and shepherds went and then told everyone else. Similarly, here we notice the resurrected Christ, the news of the resurrected Christ was given, and these people went and tried to report the news. If you read other gospel writers, they talk about the other women also who went and reported the same. It was a privilege that was given to the women in order to evangelize or to tell the news that Jesus Christ has indeed risen from the dead. Jesus has risen from the dead. Next one, verse 12. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. Let us note down the second point here. Recognized at Emmaus. Only 2 verses are written here by Mark, but it is elaborately told in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Just quickly, if you want to refer to it or if you want to note it down. Luke chapter 24, thank you, verse 13 onwards. Behold, the two of them were going that very day to a village. People used to get confused. Are these the 2 disciples of Jesus Christ? We will know the answer soon. Two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Just wanted to show you a map here. You know, Always remember the Jordan River that we talk about, the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee on the top. Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things which had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. The Jesus who died, who was buried, he rose again from the dead. Now he was traveling with them. These people are having discussion, and Jesus was traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And Jesus asked a question, "What are you talking to each other while you're walking?" And they are looking very sad. And they said, "Don't you know? Are you not aware what has happened? Jesus of Nazareth, who was prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, how they put him to death and crucified him. And people were hoping in verse 21 that he would redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this," they say, "third day since this happened, some women among us," verse 22, "some women among us, when they were at the tomb early in the morning." By the way, verse 18, I skipped verse 18. "One of them named Cleopas," this is not one of the 12 disciples, "and answered him." So most likely there could be some other people who were along with the 12 disciples who were following Jesus. So now Jesus says in verse 25, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory?" Don't be sad. And why are you not believing? Why are you slow of heart to believe? Verse 25, lot of people are in this situation. "Oh, foolish men and slow of heart." You are slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. We are fools if we don't believe in the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, in other words. It is not about anything else other than believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer? And then he explained himself, concerning himself in the scriptures. From the Old Testament he started explaining. And then they approached the village at Emmaus. And as they were going, they asked Jesus to stay over for the evening. So now the evening has come. Sunday evening has approached. So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with him, he took the bread, blessed it, breaking it. Bread, blessing and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened. The presence of Jesus Christ, the bread of life, who is the word of life, when he was explaining to these people who were slow of heart to believe that Jesus Christ had to suffer, to die, and to rise again from the dead, we notice that the moment Jesus broke the bread and began giving it to them, their eyes were opened. Verse 31, and they recognized him. They recognized the Jesus. They recognized Jesus. These are the witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he vanished from their sight. Jesus had a glorious body, a resurrected body. And that resurrected body enabled him to vanish, to appear and to vanish as well. And that is how the resurrection of Jesus Christ is. The first fruits of the resurrection is different from the physical body that we have. When we have the resurrected body, it's going to be a different body, my dear. And Jesus Christ was the first one who had that resurrected body, the first fruits of the resurrection. And he vanished from their sight. Verse 32, they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" Is your heart burning within you when you are hearing the word of God that Jesus Christ has indeed risen from the dead? Their hearts were burning. They were slow to heart in verse 25. And in verse 32, their hearts were burning within them. Their hearts were burning within them to say, "Yes, Jesus, he is risen. We have seen him." Verse 33. Once they have recognized Jesus, once they had that personal encounter with Jesus Christ, you know what has happened? They didn't say, "Okay, let's do one thing. Sleep over tonight and tomorrow we'll go." No, that same Sunday evening, verse 33, they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. Sunday, these were the events that were happening. At that very hour, they returned to Jerusalem. The moment you have that experience and the encounter with the risen Savior, you cannot keep your mouth shut. You want to be the witnesses of his resurrection. So what did they do? In verse 33, they found and they returned to Jerusalem, gathered together the 11 and those who were with him, saying, notice this very carefully, verse 34, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. Probably there was another incident that Jesus appeared to Simon. But here, verse 34, the Lord has really risen. Some of the translations uses the word indeed. The Lord is risen indeed. I love this small phrase than any other phrases. He is risen. The Lord is risen. Good. But the Lord has risen indeed. The Lord has really risen. That can happen if you have a personal encounter with him. They were the witnesses of the risen Christ. We today, we haven't witnessed it, but the witnesses have passed on the information on and on and on. There were two witnesses who spoke that Jesus has indeed risen from the dead. He has really risen. When I read this, my heart really made me so happy that, oh, why are people not able to believe this? They have come and said, we have really seen Jesus. He's really risen from the dead. Verse 35, and they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Just by the breaking of the bread, to be able to realize that Jesus Christ is one who is the bread of life, who is risen from the dead. They related their experiences. They shared their personal experience of the risen Christ. My dear brother and sister, the same Jesus can have an encounter with you. May not be physically that you are seeing, but in your heart of hearts, in your spirit, you can have that encounter with him. And when you have that encounter with him, to say, Jesus Christ, he has died for me on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. To show forth that he has power over death. Logically speaking, it doesn't make sense that somebody who died and on the third day after his body might have been putrefied, how can he come back to life? This is to show forth, to give us a hope of a resurrection, that we all who die in Christ will have the resurrected body. And that is the hope with which we move on. And that is what we see here, to be recognized at Emmaus. Let's go back to Mark chapter 16. Verse 14 onwards. Note down the last bullet here. Revealed himself to the disciples. He revealed himself to the disciples. There were multiple times he revealed himself. Mark records here in verse 14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11. No more 12. The 12th, what happened to Judas Iscariot, we know. He committed suicide. And now the 11 remain. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. He reproached them. He rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. He reproached them. He rebuked people for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. We have records of those who have seen him. If we are in that category, the Lord is rebuking each one of us, saying, why are you not believing in me? With the hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him, you should, when somebody comes and tells you, out of their experience, these two men from Emmaus, the women, they came and reported about the risen Christ. These disciples were not willing to believe. And maybe we are in such a kind of category as well, unable to believe in the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. If we do not believe in the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, our faith is in vain and our preaching is in vain. And here, Jesus had to rebuke them for their unbelief. May the Lord enable each one of us not to have any doubt in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thomas, he doubted. Jesus had to come back again. It's recorded in the book of John, chapter 20, where it is recorded that Jesus came primarily to be able to show forth himself to Thomas, who doubted Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Jesus had to show forth his hands and his side and tell, put your hand there and you will believe. And also he said in other place that Jesus Christ came over and had a meal with them as well. And many, many incidents that are recorded here to be able to show forth what he was doing. Luke chapter 24. Verse 38. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Do you have a doubt about Jesus Christ? Do you doubt his divinity? Do you doubt his purpose of coming into this world? Do you doubt his resurrection? Jesus is asking this question. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you have seen. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of a broiled fish. And he took it, ate it before them. And he started speaking many things. He wanted to prove himself. Jesus Christ made himself known to people. And those people have become the witness of his resurrection, if you read the book of Acts. And these people were given a great commission later on. We notice in Mark chapter 16 itself. Mark chapter 16 and verse... Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. He continues on. And many events that have happened after the Passion Week. Today we have meditated on Saturday and Sunday in order to be able to understand what all happened on Saturday, how now the Sabbath is fulfilled in Jesus Christ and we have the entire rest in him. We may meet on Sundays not to rest, but to serve him. Remember that. We are serving him because he gave us the rest, forever rest. So every day we are resting in the Lord, not to labor for being able to be saved, but we are serving the Lord. On Sundays, we gather together in order to proclaim Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. Not just this one Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday, but every first day of the week, as it is recorded in the book of Acts as well, the first day of the week when we gather together to break bread, the first day of the week when we collected the offerings, the first day of the week, a lot of other places also that is mentioned. The first day of the week has become the day for the New Testament believers to focus on the Lord of the Sabbath, not on the Sabbath, on the Lord of the Sabbath, and it is a resurrection day for us. It is not that we don't do anything, we don't travel, we don't do anything. Yes, we serve the Lord with gladness. At least once a day we gather together, but every day is a day of worship. Every day is a day of rest for us, remembering that Christ Jesus has provided the rest forever for eternity. Do doubts still arise in you? Do you still have a doubt if Jesus Christ is risen from the dead or not? I hope through this Passion Week series that we had, we have clearly understood that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And that is what our faith stands upon, and that is the gospel. Jesus told to proclaim this gospel in verse 15. Go all into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And on your sermon notes, you have seen what this gospel is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The gospel which I preach to you, which you have received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved. And that gospel is, verse 3, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Christ died for our sins. He rose again from the dead. That is what our faith is. If there is anyone sitting here who doesn't have that faith in this gospel, the faith by and the gospel by which you can be saved because Christ Jesus died for our sins. He has done everything for us. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord whom we celebrate on the Lord's Day as well when we gather together on the first day of the week. May the Lord enable each one of us to be strengthened in our faith. And for those who do not have that faith, that you may have faith in Lord Jesus Christ to receive him into your heart. Don't think that you have come here by accident or something. You have come here by a purpose. The Lord wants to talk to you as well, to each one of us, to your hearts, that he has come into this world to die for you, and for me as well. If any of us sitting here hasn't received Christ Jesus into your heart, please consider this. Listen to the voice of the Lord, not my voice, with our eyes closed and our heads bowed down. Let us ponder over what we have learned through these three meetings that we had from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, the events that have happened, how the Lord revealed himself to us, how the Lord taught wonderful lessons to us from the book of Mark chapter 11 to verse chapter 16. Many truths that we have learned. He has given us the rest forever. And we are gathering together on Sundays to celebrate the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful experience that is. And I hope and pray that each one of us may be able to experience that. May the Lord bless this word.